Welcome to the Shift Happens podcast, where we explore the latest trends and insights in the digital workplace. From the role of AI in the workplace to the future of remote work, we cover it all. Tune in as we chat with industry leaders and experts. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started in the digital landscape, we've got you covered. Subscribe to Shift Happens wherever you listen to podcasts and stay ahead of the curve.
Shift Happens podcast.
Welcome to the Shift Happens podcast, where we explore the latest trends and technologies transforming the future of work. In this episode, we sit down with Kyle Alspach, senior editor at CRN. Kyle brings a wealth of knowledge on the latest developments in the cybersecurity sphere. We'll be picking his brain on key shifts he's tracking, like the rise of Gen AI and its security implications, not to mention best practices partners and customers need to know when deploying these emerging technologies.
Shift Happens Podcast. Shift Happens Podcast.
So maybe speaking of shifts, Dux and I were just chatting, and we obviously are paying close attention to all of the shifts in the cybersecurity space. And we thought we'd start the topic or the chat today there. And I want to just share with you a stat that we were reading just to hear how you think about it. But let me first read it, and then we'll go from there. It's basically cybersecurity technologies spending through the channel grew about 12.7%. It's approximately $17.4 billion in the U.S. in Q2 of 2023, which accounts for about 19.5% of the total market, according to Canalys firm. And then what's interesting is two-tier partners via distributors accounted for 69.3% of the total spend. And then the one-tier partners represent 22.2%. So I get to speak a little bit to this incredible opportunity that cybersecurity represents. But I'm curious, in your view, and we'd love to hear from you, what trends are you focused on right now? And in particular, in cybersecurity, are you seeing anything that, really speaks to this sort of statistic?
I think it's demonstrating that the channel continues to be super important, which is, what CRN is founded on and why we exist is because there's we have a huge audience of people who are in the IT channel. And, I'm focused on the security end of things, which I think is probably growing even faster than, any of the other segments right now. As far as trends go, if you follow this space very much, people sort of say the same stuff over and over, but it kind of is just what's true, which is that the threats are intensifying and the number of tools that are out there to help people deal with those threats are, just continuing to grow as well in response. And so it's just an incredibly chaotic space. I think that, once you talk to some people who are doing security for a living, you start to understand why there is such a shortage of professionals, who want to do this, and why they're getting burnt out so quickly. So, I think that those are, the top level trends, but within that, there's quite a few other, directions we can go happy to talk about, a level down with, what kind of folks.
Yeah, why not? Take us a level down. We'd love to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that, security operations has been a lot of the conversations that I've had this year. And it kind of was already, even before people started realizing what generative AI was going to do, this was already what people were always wanting to talk about, which was just, what I was just speaking to about the complexity of, being on a security team working in a security operations center. It sounds insane. I haven't, ever worked in one myself, but it just sounds completely overwhelming. And, so many vendors rightly are trying to figure out how to, come up with, new ways of approaching things. And that's a lot of what's driving, this whole push toward consolidation of tools is having, one platform to go to. You don't have to be switching between all these different interfaces all day long. And I think generative AI, that's sort of the first place that's going in security. As far as, the stuff I've been following, there's a lot of different places where generative AI is going to go in cybersecurity. But I think security operations is, you know, where I'm hearing a lot of the momentum to begin with, because there's a lot of parts of the job, security operations center, you know, analyst that generative AI can help with. You know, they need summaries. That's what generative AI is great at. They need a summarization of this massive, you know, flood of information that's constantly coming at them from threat intelligence, from, you know, the detection tools. They need to be able to put together a story about what's going on. If they can even, you know, begin to figure out what's actually an issue and what isn't, they need to, you know, be able to come up with some kind of story that's going to give them a sense of, you know, what the hell is going on with this. And generative AI, I think anyone who's played around with ChatGPT, you know, hopefully most people have tried asking it to summarize things. That it's excellent at that. It's been excellent at that since day one. And so I think that that's, you know, a lot of the initial momentum, but there's so many other, you know, places. Vulnerabilities is a huge thing, you know, finding vulnerabilities, you know, helping teams to, you know, prioritize vulnerabilities. I mean, you know, there's all of the major pain points in cybersecurity today, it seems like generative AI at least is promising there's going to be some kind of, you know, assistance or relief. And so, I mean, who knows? It's still very early. I don't even know how many of these tools are even generally available yet in generative AI for security. But you know, I mean, there certainly are a lot of hopes out there.
Well, Kyle, you really nailed an important point, right? One, the idea, at least today, people see Gen AI as, like you said, summarizing documents, creating emails, and creating pictures and videos, which is fantastic. But what you're describing and discussing, which is really exciting, is taking it to the next level, where we leverage Gen AI to really help us and secure and defend our footprint, our data, and our infrastructure. I mean, in your recent article on Microsoft's Security Copilot, for example, you covered the potential and use cases of GPT-4 to do security work. Can you highlight some of those examples and maybe use cases and scenarios on how, in this case, Microsoft is saying they're going to do it or how they're going to do it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one example that they've used and others have used is, you know, there are these TTPs, tactics, techniques, and procedures that a threat actor, you know, will often be associated with. And if you can ask, you know, this bot a question about, you know, are you seeing the TTPs of X threat actor, E39? Are you seeing that kind of thing in our system right now? And it just comes back and tells you yes or no, or yes, and here's, you know, the ones that we're seeing. That can start to give you an idea of what's going on much faster, theoretically, much faster. And, that's what the teams are looking for. In addition to sort of simplifying what they're doing, they're also just looking for the ability to make decisions much more quickly. It's a game of speed with the attackers, and the attackers keep getting faster. And it seems like the hope is that this is going to make the defense teams a whole lot faster too.
And I would imagine down the road, in addition to the ability to ask the bot or the AI itself will learn through time and be responsive and in some ways make decisions on its own, say, oh, I see this denial of service starting to happen. Maybe I want to start shutting down this port or something.
That's a really interesting one, because I often ask people about sort of just, you know, how autonomous could this actually become, or should this become? And it seems like there's a real variety of, you know, views on that. Some people are pretty excited about that. Some people are more hesitant about that. It's definitely something that I think we're going to, you know, learn a whole lot about. And, you know, in the coming year or years is, you know, can we really trust these things? Some people probably are going to, you know, for whatever reason, are going to decide to give more autonomy over to the systems, and others will be a little more, you know, reluctant to do that. But I think that's fascinating, because that really is the holy grail of all, you know, AI is, you know, I mean, that, and everyone says there's still going to be things for people to do. So it's not laying off your entire staff of security analysts, but they certainly, a lot of them are having trouble filling these jobs. So I don't see immediately, maybe a security analyst would feel differently about it, but I don't immediately see a big concern about, you know, giving a little bit more, making more decision-making autonomous.
Well, let's bring it home a little bit, right? So we talk about broad implications and trends around cybersecurity, Gen AI. And if we look at organizations, right, if we bring it closer to the business, we bring it closer to the day-to-day work, what are you seeing as the main cybersecurity risks and threats that a lot of these digital workplace are experiencing, especially now with the massive adoption of the cloud? And based on these trends, any ideas or suggestions how they can be mitigated or prevented?
I mean, I think that identity seems to be just a running theme, but it seems like, at least in terms of like every really major attack or something like that, it seems like there's always some kind of credentials component. And there's a bunch of different varieties of that. But I mean, if you just, you know, if you look at the recent Okta breach, they're an identity provider and they were attacked using an identity-based attack. Like that's like the kind of thing that's going on out there. And it just seems like, you know, that is just a, you know, a huge thing. And with people, you know, working from home and everything being, you know, digital work, you know, digitally oriented workforce, as you just mentioned, I think identity is, you know, it's already a huge issue. And I think people were talking about it a lot more this year than they were the last year. And they're talking about it a lot more last year than they were the previous year. So it's like every, you know, I see it keep growing and growing, but I mean, I think attackers are onto something here, unfortunately, that this is a major weak spot. And, you know, so that, I mean, that's a, you know, that's a huge thing that I think, because there isn't a great answer on it. There is no generative AI solution to that.
Yeah, it's very true. Maybe shifting a little bit to best practices. Are you in some of the work you're doing in your coverage, are there any best practices you feel are starting to come around where organizations are thinking about what frameworks they should be using to evaluate gen AI opportunities in their business? And then if we were, you know, maybe thinking about this also from the vendor landscape for partners to actually do more work with vendors that are providing technology, it'd be also good to hear if you're hearing anything, what kinds of best practices there might be for these considerations.
I think that, you know, a lot of them are looking at consolidation. And, you know, so that's, I think, rapidly, if they're not looking at that, then they probably, you know, are a little behind because, you know, I think that there is an opportunity there. The whole industry seems pretty focused on it right now. It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a complicated thing too, though, because they also want best of breed. And so, you know, I think a lot of them are going to be probably increasingly looking at, you know, are there actual platforms that have best of breed tools within them? That's just going to keep growing. I mean, I certainly, it comes up in every conversation I have with everybody and with a lot of partners too. It's not just the vendors that are, you know, pushing us. I think the partners are in the same, I mean, it's the same issue as the customers are having where there's too many tools, which just creates too much complexity, which itself is a security vulnerability. So, you know, so I think that that's a big one in terms of them evaluating Gen AI tools specifically. I mean, it's still sort of taking shape, but I think that, I mean, a lot of them, sort of like the immediate thing with this wasn't even about security. It was more about data loss prevention and, you know, the data does. So I don't know if we're, you know, if everyone's already all set with that. I doubt it. You know, I think that's probably going to continue to be, you know, an issue. But I think, you know, that's certainly where everyone's minds went first, was just like our IP is going to get dumped into and LM, and you know, everyone's going to have access to it, which, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know there were cases of that, but you know, so I think that's certainly something that solution providers, like right off the bat, like that was part of their first conversation with their customers, was, you know, about that issue. And then down the line, depending on the situation, they might be looking at, like, you know, how can we actually, you know, protect your organization overall from the types of threats that are out there, as opposed to just their own internal people, you know, revealing their corporate, you know, information.
Hello, Shift Happens podcast listeners. I have an exciting offer for you. Join us for our in-person Shift Happens conference, October 10 to 11 in Washington, D.C. Registration is free. That's right, it's free. And you walk away with actionable strategies from industry leaders and peers to make shift happen in your digital workplace. Visit shifthappens.to to register today. We'll see you there. I mean, Kyle, this has been a top of mind conversation that Mario and I have been having with partners and customers around the world is, you know, the excitement around Gen AI, but the reality that it relies on a good and strong data foundation. Because even if, like, if we think about Microsoft, where the LLM is very specific to the organization's tenant, but the idea is, number one, you know, data should be good, but number two is only the right people should have access to that information, because Copilot, for example, will rely on the permission, the classification, the tag. And I think this is a great opportunity for partners to help guide their customers through that journey, because all of us know that we all have good intentions. We all want to classify and tag data correctly. We want to set the right permissions, but it doesn't happen. So what are you seeing from that lens? You talk about data. Sure, there's the identity protection's important. Have you had conversations around, because of Gen AI, making sure that data is well secured and what the role of channel and the partners are, especially guiding their customers to that journey?
Well, there's multiple aspects with the data. You know, you touched on sort of using data to you know, make your LLM work better. But then there's the other side of it, which is, you know, making sure the data doesn't get leaked. Tools like data loss prevention were already, I think, on the uprise, and partially because of the threats that are out there. Forget Gen AI. We are already seeing with things like MOVEit and you know, these other attacks where it's extortion only. There's no ransomware, you know, traditional ransomware usually deployed encryption. But the, you know, the biggest attack of this year, at least the one I paid the most attention to, was MOVEit, you know, the exploits of MOVEit, which, you know, was 2,700 victim organizations, 81 million people, something like that. You know, huge incident. And that was, as far as I know, that was entirely data theft and extortion over that data. There was no, you know, traditional ransomware being deployed in that situation. And so, you know, that kind of stuff on its own is already, you know, creating a spike in demand for DLP and just sort of, you know, people understanding what's happening with their data. It's some of these times it's like the data theft is happening and it's just, you know, happening super slowly. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure they mix it up, but this, I mean, this is already a huge concern. And then you add in ChatGPT and things like that, where people are, you know, asking for a summary, as I was saying earlier, you know, summarize, you know, my code for this thing or whatever, or maybe not code, but, you know, they're putting in their IP or their, you know, sensitive information, PII, and, you know, and so that's a whole other, so, I mean, it just seems like everything is heading in the direction of, you know, data security becoming more important.
Actually, speaking of data security, any thoughts on how we should be thinking about risks or the regulatory environment?
You know, the SEC regulations, I assume that's maybe what you're talking about. That seems like the big one at the moment. Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, that'll be another driver there of you know, companies needing to understand what's going on and what's going, you know, what's happened with their data, you know? I think that's a fascinating one. You know, I don't think there's ever been anything like it in security in terms of like regulations that, you know, it's not saying per se you need to have good security. It's just saying, you know, this is a new consequence if you don't. It's kind of indirectly requiring you to improve your security. And, you know, and so I think, yeah, I think that does mean, you know, data is what they're concerned about. They're not really that concerned. I guess they are to some degree concerned about other types of threats, but you know, ransomware these days is not, traditional ransomware is not feared all that much anymore. Like, and now that all the fear is around like these, you know, data extortion attacks where all their data is going to get leaked on the dark web. So, you know, that's what I think probably the SEC also is more, I mean, the SEC probably would care more about that because that's what can actually move a stock price of a company these days, as opposed to, you know, a ransomware attack. Everyone just kind of yawns at this point. It's a traditional encryption attack.
I think there's this gray area, right? And we think about such as existing laws that are disallowing AI-generated content to be copyrighted. When you start thinking about that, and then it puts the whole thing in question. And, you know, and so what customers think about, what are the recommendations in the AI algorithms that I should be looking for? Where is the, you know, regulation that helps me make sure I'm understanding these tools that I'm going to deploy? There's so many questions that, you know, are going to be asked. And are you, as you were covering and looking at this market, are you seeing that the channel, or at least partners, need to bolster up a lot of their subject matter expertise on regulatory environment requirements? Or how do you see, or do you see that a few are going to specialize in that and sort of partner with the others that are doing more of the operational component of putting Gen AI in place?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would also put cyber insurance under regulatory now, which, yeah, I mean, if I'm talking to a partner, I think that some of them are interested in what's going on at the federal level, depending on what their business is, but they're all concerned about cyber insurance. And because that thing is just so unpredictable, it varies from a carrier to carrier, and they're always expanding what they're asking. The questionnaires that they send out are just always having more and more questions on them. Some of the questions are completely unrealistic to be able to answer. So I think that is definitely something where, probably more do need to get up to speed on that. But at the same time, it's a constantly increasing, expectation for them. You know, it's always it's like everything else in security. It's like, it's always expanding in terms of what you're supposed to know about it. And I do get the impression that especially some of these partners, they serve smaller businesses, which in the past did have to worry about cyber insurance, didn't have to worry about federal regulations, but now there even are federal regulations that have security implications for small businesses, depending on what industry they're in. If they're in financial services, they're now going to be subject to some federal regulations. Like, you're a 10-person, accounting firm, you're going to be subject to federal, certain federal regulations now.
I was wondering if we should also expect partners to bring to market new products. And what I mean by that is, I'm curious if you feel that partners are going to find ways to monetize Gen AI in the products they're offering. There's a structure that Gartner talks about where they look at the categories of Gen AI. They talk about conversational AI. They talk about more operational type AI. And I'm just curious as to where you see opportunities for channel players.
It's interesting. I haven't honestly talked to too many people about that exactly. I think that they probably should be evaluating it if there is some kind of aspect of what they do where that would make sense. I hate to give an it depends answer, but I think everyone should be looking at it. Honestly, I think even I the more I learn about it, the more I'm like, shoot, I should have been like looking at this more closely 6 months ago. And I'm trying to catch up. Not to take a tangent, but like, if you look at like ChatGPT Pro version, which I've been using, and, you can program your own, program is exactly the right word, but you can basically come up with your own, hyper-personalized version of, the GPTs, they call them. That's one thing where the store isn't available yet, but I mean, anyone could potentially monetize that, and that's maybe itself not super significant to partners, but I think it's a sign of things to come. I think it's a sign that, there are going to be opportunities to be, coming up with things, for some people, if this is their aptitude. And I think partners are really, really smart to be paying a lot of attention. The other aspect to it is just that, partners are, they're some of the people who get the most tired of the hype, right? And like, there's, a trend that's a buzzy trend, like they're hearing about it more than probably anyone else, because they hear from like hundreds of salespeople like a day or a week or whatever it might be. And they're, you know, and so I think the tendency maybe for some, I would think, would be that, you know, Gen AI has like been hyped like beyond anything else we've, you know, heard of or seen since like the beginning of the internet, probably, like, you know, and so probably a lot of them are, you know, a little sick of it already at this point. But I really hope that despite that, a lot of them would still, you know, have curiosity about it and still be looking into what the potentials are. Because I do think, I mean, just from my own looking into it, like, I don't think this is, you know, the next overhyped thing that doesn't go anywhere. I do think this is like the next internet level shift. And I think a lot of people are just probably tuning it out. I mean, I even, you know, when it first started, I was even personally just tuning it out. I think partly because I'm a writer and I didn't love some of the possible implications of it. And so for a while, I was just kind of like, no, I don't want to think
about that. You close your ears and like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. Did you go through that, you know, whether you have or you haven't yet, but I'm sure you heard a lot of folks were saying, oh, the replacement of jobs. And I, as a writer, how do you think about that? Do you think it's possible that at some point certain areas of the writing profession really change dramatically because of what Gen AI does?
I suspect it's already happening for really commodity writing. You know, people who are maybe would be in like their first or second year of a writing job. I think probably it's already begun. It's at least probably meaning that there's fewer getting hired. I'm not basing that on anything other than my gut sense about it, but just from using the tool and seeing what it can do. I mean, I think some people can write better than a first year out of college writer. I mean, I wasn't, I'm thinking of myself my first year out of college when I say that. You know, as far as like once we get to the higher level stuff, that, I mean, it makes me a little nervous, but it also, you know, the thing that's been coming to mind for me is just that I think that, you know, people who are currently writers who are not looking for their first job, people who are currently writers, it's probably going to end up being more helpful than it is not helpful. It's automation. It's just the next automation tool. When people got word processing applications, that made them faster and more productive. So I don't see it as being super different from that, but I mean, you know, we'll see. But I mean, it does. I think like the concern for me is just that like if there aren't entry level jobs because of ChatGPT, then like where are the next generation of writers going?
I mean, it's similar to all the innovations we've had, right? So you can argue that same thing with, you know, automobiles, typewriters, computers. So we're just going through that transformation, but we as professionals, we have to transform as well. It could be true for developers. It could be true for artists, and it can make music now, right? It could be anything.
It's to stay on message and on brand. It's a shift, right? It's really moving us in a direction where we're just doing things more efficiently. And if we have more efficiency in our day and in our collaboration, then we have the potential to probably tackle bigger problems. And hopefully we all stay in the spirit of that as we kind of explore this this new, you know, incredible revolution we're going through. What I wanted to ask you next is, what are you, anything you're watching, things that are going to be trending for 24 that you think really we're what, a few weeks away from 24, from the new year? In your world, what are the things that are grabbing your attention now?
I'm certainly interested to see what's actually going to happen in terms of people releasing some, not to keep talking about generative AI, but people, I mean, the vendors are going to be releasing these things next year. This was the year where everyone kind of, you know, said what they think they can do. And next year we're going to see what they actually can do. And so certainly watching that very closely. I mean, I think we haven't talked about cloud too much, but I think that, you know, just what's been happening with cloud security is pretty fascinating and something that I think is, you know, shifting quite a lot. You know, the whole, you know, consolidation of tools on a CNAP, you know, as it's called, you know, I think that I mean, that's was a huge thing in 2023 that, you know, I'm interested to see what the results of that are going to be next year.
So Kyle, it's been an awesome conversation. We can keep going. And before we wrap up, right, in the spirit of this conversation around shift happening, if there's two things or three things you can leave with to our listeners, especially if they're channel partners, what are those advice that you can offer to make the shift happen, be it in their business, in the work they have with their customers, in light of the conversation around cybersecurity, Gen AI?
I always feel like curiosity is a good thing to try to maintain because of all the stuff I was just saying. Sometimes it's difficult to, there's a lot of noise and hype, and sometimes it's difficult to, you know, remain in a mode where you want to learn things. But I think that, you know, always being interested in learning new things, I think has, like, you know, been able to keep me going in this, you know, in the profession that I'm in. And I just tend to think that's generally a good approach. But with Gen AI and security specifically, I mean, I think that the more that they can, you know, be looking not just at what it's going to do in the near term, but also, you know, extrapolating out a little bit, having conversations with people about, like, well, what else could it, you know, potentially be doing down the line? I think that's probably valuable too, just because these things are happening really fast, and things might seem like in a normal timetable, that would be 5 or 10 years off. It might not take that long because generative AI, I mean, that's like the funny thing about ChatGPT is, like, you can talk to ChatGPT about how to use ChatGPT better, and it will tell you. And it just, you know, it just kind of like feeds into itself. And I feel like that's kind of Gen AI overall. Like, that's the story here, is that it's just moving so incredibly quickly. And so, you know, I've been doing some writing about that topic of, like, extrapolating out with where is it going to go in security. And, you know, one of the big potentials we didn't really talk about, but just, like, finding zero-day vulnerabilities. Like, the things that, like, nobody's ever been able to automate that because they're zero-day. Like, they're unknown. You can find something that's known, but you can't find something that's unknown because it's unknown. You have to know how to think like a person in order to be able to do that. And so I think that's just one example that I would give as far as, like, where this is going next in the future, you know, that could be really relevant to all of this partners out there that are, you know, very focused on issues like vulnerabilities that they're trying to help.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much. It's been an awesome conversation, and I'm pretty sure our listeners and guests gained a lot out of it. And hopefully we look forward to having you back in another episode in the future.
Great. Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate your time.
Shift Happens Podcast.
Thanks for listening. The key takeaway from today's episode is that change brings both risk and opportunities. Partners must maintain keen awareness, guide customers with long-term strategic advice, and continually expand their own knowledge and capabilities. Mastering these imperatives will allow channel players to skillfully ride the waves ahead and capitalize on shifts rather than being capsized by them. There's no smooth sailing guaranteed, but the horizon holds as much promise as peril for those who prepare. If you liked today's episode, subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. See you next time. Shift Happens Podcast is a production of AvePoint, Inc., produced and edited by the AvePoint brand team. Stay up to date on the latest trends in digital workplace transformation by visiting avpoint.com.